Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 110 of the Xbox Hall of Gamers podcast. This week, I'm joined by Keo.
Hey, how's it going?
And Cameron.
Hello.
This week, we got a little bit of... What the fuck do you think we're going to talk about this week?
You know what I should have done? I read the background. I should have done the everything is fine.
Yeah, exactly. Everything is fine. Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll have dogs living together and all kinds of shit this week.
The whole fucking world is coming down at the moment, the Xbox world at least. We'll talk about a few other things as well, but of course that'll probably be the meat of the show. Baseless speculation as we talk out of our ass and wait for some confirmation of some stuff. But we'll also be playing some video games. There's quite a bit happening with Game Pass this month that they've announced. I guess we'll basically just get straight into it with our community question from our good friend Isaac, who says, "Hey guys, one of the games I played early on was Age of Empires Online. I used to like the game, but only popped two achievements in it. I didn't know about TA or guides at the time, and the servers have been shut down for a long time. It'll forever haunt my tag as incomplete. Are there any games on your tag that were completable, but you chose to wait and now are no longer completable, or just games you'll never ever go back to, even though you only popped one or two achievements in them? Thanks for taking my question." He also amends that to say, "I did see that someone did bring Age of Empires Online back to life, so it's playable again, but not affiliated with Xbox, so you can't get achievements." To which I say, yeah, then basically it doesn't exist.
Yeah, what's the point? TA won't recognize it. So
exactly. Yeah, it's not real. Yeah.
Just for our audio listeners too, I changed the background to the "everything is fine" background just then. Thoughts are every achievement should be set up proactively, so it's like Mass Effect Andromeda.
Mm-hmm.
We have an offline and online aspect of that achievement, so if anything,
if you have an online version of it,
I mean, if you're an always, like, if you're a always online kind of game, I can understand why you potentially can't do that, but that's pretty much my view. I'd love to do Age of Empires Online. I didn't really get that much time to dig into it, and there's a whole lot of Windows Phone games that I didn't really.
That was pretty much what I was going to say. The thing that I spent a lot of time playing two particular Windows games over and over and over again. It was Bejeweled Live and the Tomb Raider Temple Run, kind of game. And I managed to finish Bejeweled Live, but, you know, it's like collect a million gems or something like that. And it's the same with the Tomb Raider one. It was collect a million coins. And because I went and had every generation of phone, I went from one phone to the next phone, and the progress always reset that I never actually finished the Tomb Raider game at all. So I missed that, and I've missed one achievement in the Final Fantasy III on Windows Phone as well. So, and it was get all characters to level 99.
Huge fucking grind.
Yeah.
Problem is with these games, they're mostly set over the mobile model. Just grind endlessly for
Final Fantasy reason. Has always been that. So it's almost a perfect fit for
a mobile. JRPGs in general, right?
Yeah, exactly. I've talked at length many times around the sort of the discontinued that I have on my tag, unfortunately. The ones that come to mind that are there's nothing I can do about them. What was that game? Scourge or something? It was a 360 game. I've started it, did a run through the campaign, and then they just unexpectedly shut down the servers for it.
Yeah. Right. I don't know that one.
Scourge Outbreak?
Scourge Outbreak, I believe, is the game, yeah. It's a 360 arcade game. It had a four-player co-op online, and then also online deathmatch mode or whatever.
Mm.
But obviously it's super out. I picked it up on a sale, and it was very, not very popular at all. So, I don't think I found a single person who played it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, speaking of Final Fantasy characters, I have mentioned this on the podcast before. The cooking in Final Fantasy XI, It was like you get cooking and a bunch of other characters once again to 90, level 99 or whatever it was, the highest level. I did that and then missed some of the story achievements for the expansion that I could have gotten.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Another one that springs to mind, it's a kind of a weird one, is I have one Windows Phone game that I wasn't able to complete.
Mm-hmm.
There was one achievement for it. It was the game's called Extraction. There is a glitch with the Eagle Eye achievement, which is for like getting like a certain amount of like perfect reload sort of things. Because you shoot by like swiping. It was kind of weird. When they ported that game to Windows 8, that achievement would crash the game.
Yes.
And so you had to do it on a Windows 7 phone. By the time I started on a Windows 8 phone without knowing that, and it wasn't tagged on TA or anything until much later. So if you go see that achievement, you can see me in the comments complaining about it, along with quite a few other people.
Nice.
Yeah. And then the other one that sort of just brings to mind, Forza Motorsport 2, the auction house.
Yes.
Could have quite easily gotten that, but I wasn't a massive achievement hunter back in those days. I didn't even buy the game. It was given to me because I remember it came as a pack-in a lot of 360 consoles. So, and I wasn't a big driving game guy, but I didn't have any games, so I just played it for a bit. I got quite a few achievements in it, but I never did any of the online, and then they just shut down the auction house. So, yeah. I
was just thinking as you said that, Forza Horizon 2 on 360, how screwed me over. But I was actively working on that, and lo and behold, servers just broke.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh man, yeah, it's
why are you gonna dig up old wounds?
Yeah, thanks for the trauma. It's always great to, you know.
I like how it's just like all doom and gloom in the community. Let's ask something the achievement hunters will hate.
Yeah, exactly.
Hope the studying is going well, mate.
Yeah, yeah,
studying exactly. Japanese, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm seeing if there's any of my not ones as discontinued. The only one that really comes up is Car Broker for Forza Motorsport 2. And then I guess that social achievement for Gears Judgment.
The Socialite. Yeah.
Which I know they've been trying to, maybe one day, maybe, but I'm not holding my breath. But overall, I think I've done relatively well in that space. I have very, very few like discontinued or unobtainables on my tag. You know, I mean, Mein Leben might as well be a discontinued or unobtainable for me. But
you can do it, buddy.
Well, like that was one of those games where, because Isaac also mentions like something that you started that you didn't go back to. Like I have quite a few of those games in my tag. Mm-hmm. It's just that I have so many completions that you don't really notice all that much. But there are definitely a few in there. I've actually been playing one of them this week, going back and like cleaning up something that I started but didn't really put any time into. But like I'd really like to go back and actually do The Witcher 3, the Game of the Year edition, because I did the original version of it and then the stack. I started the stack, but just kind of got tired of it quite quickly. And then Cyberpunk as well, same boat. You know, started it, got a few achievements, put a few hours into it, and just kind of dropped off immediately. JRPG in there as well or two. But
I do want to do like a big story month, which I think would be good for people that wanted to do like Valhalla or those massive games. Having a look at Sea of Thieves.
Ooh,
is one I'd love to go back to, but there's no point if they're just discontinued legacy achievements. Far Cry 2, I didn't jump on quick enough. Dante's got everything done, but that one achievement in the DLC.
Yep.
We just ran out of time. Project Spark would be a good one.
Oh, yeah. I haven't thought about that game in a while, yeah.
That was a game that I really liked before I started caring about achievements.
Yeah.
And, Project Spark would be a great one just to have as a completion if you could go back to it. Having a look at anything out like Knockout City I got done, which I was happy with. Need for Speed games in 360. Like Pro Street, The Run.
I started Banner Saga. That's one that I will go back to, but I really struggle with that kind of game.
Turn-based lovers put out an article the other day saying that's like one of the best turn-based games of all time.
It's really fun, but I got through like the tutorial fight and it just kind of got my ass handed to me. And I'm just like, I don't know if I'm smart enough to play this. Actually, one that I really wish I hadn't played was Risen 2. It's just like, it's a 360 game. It is now backwards compatible, I believe. So there's that. But I started it for an achievement challenge, as many of these games have been. But I just, there aren't really a lot. There aren't, like, I'd love a, if there was a walkthrough for it on TA, I probably would have done by now. But there's so much to keep track of in that game that it can get quite difficult. It doesn't have a super high ratio either. But like, I don't, I'm looking at my friends list and like everyone has a couple of achievements in the game, but like, you know, I don't see anyone with triple digits in terms of score. So I think a lot of people bounced off that one.
The other one I wanted to quickly bring up, Fuser.
Yeah, that would have been nice.
Which was an interesting
idea,
but just, went too quickly, I think. I feel like that's all music-based games now. Yeah. It's just, you got to jump on it immediately, otherwise you're fucked.
Absolutely. But yeah, Isaac, hopefully that answers your question. It's definitely given us some stuff to think about, you know, doing a bit of a backlog event or something along those lines to look at.
A leftovers event, you know?
Yeah, exactly. The bottom of the barrel. Let's get into some news, Cameron. I should also say at the top of the show, which I forgot to do, is that we're doing the show live on Twitch. As always, Xbox Hall of Gamers is the place to find us, but you probably already know that by now. All right, news, Cameron, what have you got? Let's talk about the other stuff first, and then we'll get into the big topic at the end.
All right, cool. Starting off, Resident Evil 9 and four other Resident Evil games are reportedly in development at Capcom. Pardon me. According to a reputable insider, Capcom has five Resident Evil projects in the works, including Resident Evil 9, which will reportedly act as a closing chapter.
Okay.
One of which is expected to launch in 2026 or 2027. Reputable insider aesthetic gamer Dusk Golem, who has had a good history of reliably leaking projects such as Resident Evil Village and images of the new Silent Hill game, has said that Capcom is working on the five Resident Evil games. He shared the news on Discord saying that one of the games is Resident Evil 9, and nothing has been said about the other four projects, though only that one of the games won't be releasing until late 2026 or early 2027, most likely. Dusk Golem has previously shared that Resident Evil 9 has been in development since 2018 and has the longest development cycle and largest budget of any Resident Evil game. It's expected to release somewhere in 2025 at the earliest, and while it's not a direct sequel to 2021's Resident Evil Village, Capcom planned both games' plot lines at the same time so the ninth entry can close the current story arc and kickstart the next.
That's interesting, because we did talk the other day around how it feels like Resident Evil has gone in trilogies, right? Where you had 1, 2, and 3, and then you had sort of 4, 5, and 6 with the over-the-shoulder stuff, and then you had 7 and 8, which 8 was a direct sequel to 7. And then with the ending of 8 and then kind of the DLC, you're like, okay, yeah, are they going to do a 9 based on these characters, or is it going to be a different thing? Or, I mean, I love Resident Evil, you know, those games are great. So I'm definitely keen for it. And obviously Resident Evil 4 was a huge, the remake was a huge smash success for them. So I'm not surprised that they have a lot of projects going for it. I'm wondering, do we have any ideas of what those might be? I mean, the rumors are that the next remake that they're doing is Code Veronica, which I think would make sense.
Yeah. Code Veronica would make sense. I mean, 9, I'm wondering if they do something like, would they do Inverse? Was that the multiplayer one?
Reverse, the multiplayer. I don't know if they're going to go down that route again. They've tried it twice already, and I think it's just...
Yeah, this one, it was panned out way too long being delayed, and then it didn't really take off. So,
I'm not the biggest person across Resident Evil. How did the Revelations games go for them?
Yeah, well, because they were originally handheld games. Mm.
It kickstarted the horror aspect back into the Resident Evil series after or before 6? So I think they had 6. Revelations and then like the Operation Raccoon City or something around the same time or something, or 6. You know, there was a couple that cannibalized on them all around that area.
Because Revelations was on the DS.
It was on the 3DS. 3DS, yeah. Yeah. So, and it was a great story, and it's really good that they managed to port it to everything else eventually. So the story in that is really strange. I've not finished the game myself, but it's got a new location, like a zero day kind of location called Terra Grigia, which is basically a separate incident to the Raccoon City stuff. So it's a pathway they haven't really gone down in the main series of the game in terms of other things that have gone on. So they could always branch back out into kind of that area because it's kind of hidden in those side games. You don't hear about it otherwise.
I mean, Revelations has a bit of a tie-in with 7, but I won't say any more because it's spoilers, but... There's some stuff around like the I literally can't say anymore because it's a huge spoiler, but they do, like, there is a little bit of crossover there, but yeah, like there I mean, Resident Evil's got very like a lot to work with, right? Like, do they go back and redo 1 in the same style of as 2 and 3 and 4 at this stage?
Are they going to remake 5 next?
Yeah, well, they 100% are doing that. Like, that's
They definitely. There's a lot of talk about that as well. Because 5 was really, really important. It was like for a lot of Resident Evil lore people, they find that was actually like the best in terms of like tying all the stories together.
There's also a part where Chris punches a boulder into a lake of lava. So, I mean, like, I want to see that remake.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, we need more memes like that, really.
100%. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I liked 5 quite a bit. I know it's a very big tonal shift away from even from 4.
Yeah.
With like the co-op and the kind of more mission style structure and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But as a game, I think it plays really well. And I really enjoy it. And it's one of the ones like I've gone back and done quite a few times on. I think I did like the Games Windows Live version, and I did the Xbox One re-release as well. But yeah, like I said, like, you know, they could remake Code Veronica, they could remake 5, they can do a new game, they could go down like the Outbreak route or the Revelations route, or they could remake the original game. Yep. Like, there's so much that they could do just from the existing properties that they've proven that, hey, we have an engine that works and that people really like these games. Let's fucking bring some of this stuff into the 21st century.
What about the Game Boy Color game?
I mean, sure, why not? Sure. Yeah.
Look, why not? I would love to have that's one of the few games that I don't actually have access to. I think there are two games I can't do for my series playthrough, and it's Resident Evil Gaiden and the original Survivor game and Dead Aim. Apparently, Dead Aim's really good. It's technically another, like, Survivor and Dead Aim are in the same kind of trilogy as like Survivor 2. I think there's like 4 or 5, but there's only a couple that are Resident Evil adjacent, you could say. But but yeah.
Capcom seems to be having some, for the most part, I mean, they were really on top for quite a while with like this, with like Resident Evil and Monster Hunter and Devil May Cry, and they were just fucking putting out banger after banger. They've had a couple of missteps recently, but overall Capcom seems to be doing pretty well.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can't say I'm surprised.
But I'm trying to think what else they've put out, but I can only think of Exoprimal in the last few years.
Yeah, Exoprimal was kind of not the best. But I don't know. I think that, like, I'm definitely interested to see. I'm definitely interested to see kind of what else they come up with. And of course, they make some of my favorite games just in general. So, Oh, and then, of course, Street Fighter 6, which was huge for them.
Yeah,
man, they got some good stuff. I mean, they do re-release their shit a little bit too often, but and then charge full price for it and don't do ports. But, you know, no one's perfect.
I'll be honest, I'm like not the biggest fan of Resident Evil and that, but I'd love to see like Dead Rising.
Yes, I would. Yeah, like a revival of ironically, a revival of Dead Rising would be amazing. A remake of the first game would probably be the way to go at this point because it's been so long. I just wonder if you can recapture. I wonder if you can recapture the magic of a game like that. As someone who played through 2 off the record quite recently, fuck, there's nothing like those games, you know?
I'll be honest, I started with 3 and I loved 3.
I like 3 quite a bit.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I think like Freeze kind of world.
Yeah,
like I that, can, like I get what you that mean. Kind of
mm.
bigger but still enclosed map would be the best option to go.
Yeah, I still think Off the Record is probably the best one of those games. Although I have a huge fondness for the original, just because it's like a special place in my heart. Mm. It was one of those games that really. When I should have said this when we were talking to Nick the other week, with like games that have like really good achievement lists or like make you think about like clever achievement lists. It was like Crackdown and Dead Rising with the original two, because like Dead Rising was the thing. It was just like, yeah, like we're gonna make you do all kinds of shit because this is like an open world survival kind of time based game. So you could do a run where you use like there's an achievement like Frank the Pimp where you have to get 8 survivors and all of them have to be female, and it's like you have to really plan that out because it's quite difficult, and also because the survivors are fucking brain dead even more than the zombies. But yeah, Capcom have so many good IP, and I'm glad that they're kind of getting the most out of them right now.
Yeah. Do you want me to move on to the next one?
Yeah, let's go.
All right. Speaking of Capcom, Capcom survey asked players if they want to see sequels or remakes of LAP series.
Yes.
Kami, Dead Rising, Dino Crisis, Final Fight, and Versus Capcom are among the series named. The Super Election survey, which is found on the publisher's Capcom Town website, asked 10 questions about various aspects of Capcom.
Mm-hmm.
One of the questions asks, are there any Capcom game series, including spin-off games, that you'd like to get a sequel or a new game? The following 20 options are given, many of which series that haven't seen a new entry in some time, with the player asked to choose three. Darkstalkers? Darkstalkers?
Fighting game.
Okay.
Really, it's yeah, a really, yeah. really cool fighting game. But yeah, I don't know about that.
Yeah. Akami?
I would love to see a sequel to Akami. I had such a fucking fantastic time playing it through last year. Even if it is a bit long and a little bit like it's aged a bit, but like a modern take on that would be incredible.
I'm going to butcher somebody's name. Onimusha?
Onimusha, yeah. Onimusha, Onimusha would be really cool as well. Sort of the historical... I'm trying to think what's the... I guess the closest comparison is maybe like a Devil May Cry kind of combat action fighter. Yeah.
Yeah, and we know Ace Attorney's never going to end anyway. They've already established said, that.
Exactly, so. Yeah. To be fair, it has been a while since they've done like a mainline release for their game. I'd also love to select the Professor Layton crossover game and all that kind of stuff coming to other platforms. Well,
yeah, that'd be interesting.
You know how I said a few weeks ago, like when there's like stories that just feel like they're a little bit planted
to
get people's hypes? That story about them using the RE engine for Ace Attorney.
Oh, 100%. Like training, I mean, look, they knew the remaster was coming out. Like,
yeah
of course.
Yeah. What do we got? Street Fighter, which I don't expect ending anytime soon.
No.
Sino Goku Bizarre.
2D fighter. Well, it's like a 2D like brawler kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a very Japanese series.
Yep. Dino Crisis.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Of course.
I think. A Dino Crisis in the RE engine would be amazing. I mean, they've already done the models for the dinosaurs for anyway. So
it would be hard to capture that magic back again.
Sure. Yeah.
So I think
they'll just do like Dino Crisis skins in Exoprimal, and then people will have to wait like 5-10 years to go until they make that decision.
Yeah. True.
Dead Rising.
Yep.
Yep.
Devil May Cry.
Yeah, Dragon's I'm sure Dogma. They'll do more of those. Dragon's Dogma, the second one's coming out this year, which I'm insane.
Yeah, of course.
I've got a friend that's just like keeps the message me like, you know, Dragon Dogma, it's coming out.
Yeah.
Like he's very hyped.
I love the first game.
Taraware no Mapura?
I have no idea what that is.
I don't know either. Yeah. The Verse Capcom stuff, though, there's more out there than just like the Marvel vs. Capcom and stuff like that. They had they've had a couple of really good battle ones. I'm trying to remember the names, but
like SNK versus Capcom.
There was SNK. Yes, that's right. Yeah. But just
all right. That does not inspire confidence. When I looked it up, it's one of the headlines was a Kotaku article. One of the year's most embarrassing Japanese games.
Wow. Okay. All right.
Is an adventure game starring a young man named Taruto who has been locked up. The players must help him get his memory back. Besides being able to watch him, you must talk with him. He is behind glass, and there are certain moments during the scenes you touch your device's screen with your fingers and your forehead.
Okay, all right, yeah, moving swiftly on.
Yeah.
yeah.
Resident Evil, obviously, they're going to do Final Fight. Final Fight. I don't know. I mean, the brawl, like the side-scrolling brawler genre, is kind of dead. I mean, I don't really like. What do you do in this day and age for a genre like that? Other than just like put out a remaster or whatever. I don't know.
You add it into like an anniversary collection.
Exactly.
And then
yeah.
You move on.
Breath of Fire, I think maybe might be worth a comeback though. Like JRPGs are definitely having a bit of a renaissance.
Yeah.
Ghosts and Goblins. Oof. Yeah. Yeah. Monster Hunter, obviously, is, I think the rumor is Monster Hunter World 2 is the thing that's kind of. Well, that was supposed to be the game that was supposed to get announced in Feb or something.
Didn't they announce something to do with that? Isn't it called Wild or
yeah,
something
that's
like
right.
That?
Yes. Yeah, they did show off that. Yeah. But they also said it's going to be like ages away. Lost Planet, though, that would be. I'm kind of keen on that, to be honest.
Are the Lost Planet games still completable?
One and three are, I think. I don't think two is. Two is basically not completable because it has the leaderboard achievement.
Yeah, it's the leaderboard one that's really going to stuff people around.
It doesn't have any discontinueds, but
no,
it's
not, not technically discontinued.
Yeah. But if you attempt that, you'll go insane. It'll be the only. It's like playing the Crew 360, expecting all the achievements to unlock.
Yeah, exactly.
I've never touched Lost Planet.
I've unfortunately touched both versions of the first game, so I need to go back and do a bit more of them. But they are quite difficult.
Yeah. Then there's like Mega Man. That is definitely going to come back, I think.
I would think so. I think it's probably about time.
Yeah. 1942.
There is a game on here that was on the Nintendo DS that they haven't really mentioned. It's called Project X Zone. And there were two in the game in the series. I have both of them, and it was basically like the Verse Capcom series, but it was like a story based collaboration of like all the Capcom characters and I think some other brands as well, where they kind of cross over a lot of different series. And it was really should have been a lot more popular than it was, but in Australia it just wasn't at all. So just kind of like. Disappeared into nothing, but it's definitely worth looking into if you're after some of that Capcom fighting magic. So,
man, this is just making me want to go back to play old games.
All right, out of the list there, what free series would you choose? I think for me it would be, I would say Dead Rising, Devil May Cry, and then either Ace Attorney or Kami.
I mean, Devil May Cry, like five did came out relatively recently. So it's
Wasn't
5 like 2013?
No, that was
2015, maybe.
That sounds a bit more closer to it. The DMC game?
No, that was before that. No, Devil May Cry.
2019.
2019.
Oh,
right. Like
that
wasn't that long ago. I mean, that was
It feels much longer.
I mean, it does, but like because I considered playing that, but looking at the achievements was insane. So I feel like if I was like, oh hey, I haven't seen this for a while, like I think Okami is probably Okami and Dead Rising are probably the two that I would pick, and then maybe Ace Attorney just so they keep making.
All right, I would say Dino Crisis 100%. That has to come back in some form. Mm-hmm. I will say actually, I know they're doing a lot of it, but Resident Evil, because I want them to dig into the old games that are basically impossible to play.
Yeah.
And find copies of. But also a modernized Ghosts and Goblins in one way or the other. Would be good as well. So
that'd be really interesting. Yeah, I'm super down for that. David in the chat says Dino Crisis, more RE, but specifically Veronica and Lost Planet. Yeah, those are like some, like we were saying, Capcom has a lot of really good IP that they could potentially be leveraging. I just wonder if any of it is popular enough to kind of really get into these days. All right. What have we got?
Let's get into the meat and potatoes. The world is ending.
They're getting rid of Toys R Bob. They're all getting laid off. Unfortunately, it's real sad.
God, I love how people just immediately just read the headline and then don't look into things.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, that's the internet.
All right, let's start off. So, Hi-Fi Rush, rumored. Few weeks ago to be heading to PlayStation and Switch.
Through some data mining and some there's some t-shirt stuff or something or something that was going on. Yeah.
This is going to be weird because there's going to be like multiple different there's so many rumors floating around at the moment that I just don't get. Like, I got the sign, I posted on X, keep calm and just play the damn console. Play your damn games.
Yeah.
As far as I'm aware, Twitter doesn't have an achievement list yet.
You'd be surprised. Yeah.
I mean, Instagram does.
True.
You found that by mistake, I think, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Business accounts having achievements.
I mean, like, they've got to be looking at these games that have a drop-off point in sales and going, why can't we capitalize on this and actually get more sales?
Let me run into it first, and then we'll have the whole, I guess, speculation.
So, yeah, go for it.
Rumors being floating around the internet recently about Hi-Fi Rush potentially coming to new platforms. A data miner found the pretty strong evidence suggests that Xbox exclusive could be coming to the PS5 and Switch, as well as numerous others. There was basically an Xbox One going shadow dropped, a blue background, I'm here, baby. This is simply epic, be positive, referring to Steam reviews. Rock out anywhere with a red background, referring to Switch. Mm-hmm. Whole bunch of different sorts. That's pretty much the crux of it so far. It's been going around the community for a little bit. I think it's pretty much all but confirmed at this stage.
Mm.
Now going to the speculation of it. I want to talk about a few things. I want to talk about the consequences of shadow dropping a game, no marketing.
Sure.
As of last year. I want to talk about the fact that just releasing on an ecosystem with Game Pass, whether that cannibalizes your sales a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think what else. I think those are the main two things I want to discuss. Like,
sure.
I guess our general thoughts and feelings about an exclusive going to other platforms.
I mean, I'm not overly surprised. I mean, we'll keep it within the confines of just Hi-Fi Rush for now, but because this is kind of what we see the evidence for. But I can kind of see a game like Hi-Fi Rush having a wider audience than just on the Xbox console. I mean, we've seen in the previous weeks that the Xbox is, you know, in terms of like console sales, is losing like 4-1, 3-1, 4-1, 5-1, depending on your region, to the PlayStation. And the Switch obviously is one of the best-selling consoles of all time. So
I think the US, it's only the only region where it's more 1-1.
Not even. Oh yeah, but even then, yeah.
Like more closer.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
but Europe and Asia, obviously, and everywhere else, including Australia and New Zealand. Yeah, I mean, I think Hi-Fi Rush is a good fit for going multi-platform.
This is a nice test bed to see how an Xbox exclusive would perform on another platform as well. Like with all the other shenanigans that are going on, like at the moment, it's like they need to test the market before they actually go ahead with this stuff. Right.
Yeah.
So, and they, you know, what if people start boycotting it or whatever, you know, all that junk that happens because it was an Xbox game. Like, you know, so you'll have people jumping ship, jumping platforms, all kind of business because it shouldn't be where it is or whatever. I don't know. So,
yeah, my mindset around it is pretty much like I'm all for like tearing down the walled gardens.
Sure.
In the sake of fairness, I believe any gamer should be able to play the games that they want to play, with the only exception of like, if the hardware limitations are going to dampen the experience, like let's just say that it can't reach, like just speculation, but let's just say that Hi-Fi Rush couldn't run on the Switch because it's older hardware and that.
Sure.
Like it needs to, it's a rhythm game and needs to hit that 60 FPS, right?
Yeah. It's not exactly going to stress the performance of PlayStation, you know? So this isn't a game that's going to have people screaming, oh, it's better on PlayStation, it's better on PlayStation. So it'll be, you know, 1-1 in terms of quality. So
that's not like my that's not what I mean. That I mean, like, where is an a hardware is holding back the game? as opposed to like best place to play, if you get what I mean.
Okay. Yeah.
I think you get into a bit of a slippery slope where if the mandate is things have to come out on every console, like if your console is selling four, if one console is selling four times better than the other and you have a limited development budget, what console are you going to develop for? Like forcing, like the idea of forcing devs to have to make a port, an Xbox port for games that they know are not going to sell nearly well enough to justify it, I think is madness. As much as I'm a huge supporter of being able to play everything everywhere, and I think Xbox is also a big supporter of that, as we'll talk about after this, I think the reality of it is that, you know, we've seen from AAA all the way to indie, games just not coming out to Xbox. And the reasoning has been not worth the development time and cost and going through the bullshit. Which, like, I as someone who primarily plays on Xbox, I fucking hate that. That's awful because I want to play everything. But I can't fault, at the end of the day, like, this is a business, right? They don't, like, no one does this for free. And if you do, you're insane. So I don't know. It's a bit of a tricky one. And, you know, when you get something that's like first party, then that, maybe that's a little bit different, where it's like, you know, this belongs to Xbox. They're going to make money on it. And they're basically like, hey, we're going to, like, you know, if we expand this conversation out a little bit, because the rumors are also that there are other things potentially going to be coming to other platforms. But chances are, I don't think, you know, when you, there's a rumor that Gears of War is going to be coming to PlayStation, right? Which is like, which is probably the most extreme example of this work, because
There's Gears, there's Sea of Thieves, there's Halo, there's multiple different.
Yeah, right. There's so many rumors, and there's not really a lot of evidence for any of them at the moment, and we'll kind of wait and see. But if we were to theoretically, hypothetically say, okay, the next Halo is going to come to PlayStation, it's almost certainly not going to be day and date, right? Like, I can't, unless Xbox goes completely third party and doesn't have a console, I can't see them saying, yeah, we're going to put it out on Xbox and PlayStation and Switch and PC all day and date, but also you should probably play it on Xbox. Like, this sounds like it's more likely to be, these are going to be, the timed exclusive is now going to be for first party games as well, where it's like, Xbox brings it out on Xbox and PC, and then a year later, you get Starfield on PlayStation or whatever. Again, I'm talking out my ass here because I don't know, and no one knows.
But does that affect how you play your games? Like, are you annoyed that PlayStation players could get like Starfield a year after?
No, fuck. I wouldn't be annoyed if PlayStation got them a day and date. That doesn't bother me at all. More people should be playing more games. It's great.
The only downside that I've seen is, I think we've had discussions in the past where we've had game, like we've had Minecraft, which is like multi-platform.
Sure.
And obviously they pay a fee to PlayStation to keep it. And then PlayStation uses that money to keep Final Fantasy and Silent Hill on, like, as exclusives. That's the only downside that I see.
Sure.
Out of all this, if they're going to money hat exclusives staying on PlayStation, like I said before, tear down the gardens.
Yeah, well, Xbox would be planning to do the same with the money they get by putting their exclusives on the other platforms. So they're
Game Pass on that, right?
Yeah, they're countering it that way as well. So, and if you think about it, like, if you get a banger hit and it's on every platform and it's on PlayStation at the same time as it's on Xbox, you're eating into the people that are buying PlayStation exclusive games if they're buying Xbox games on PlayStation.
Yeah.
So you're actually capturing the market at that moment where the market is on both platforms. So you're bleeding across the platforms as opposed to not. So what are they talking about this week? All gamers are talking about Hi-Fi Rush, Starfield, you know, at the same time.
I mean, that's like, I'm trying to think of like a good example of that, but I guess like it used to be like Call of Duty, right? Like, even though PlayStation had those exclusive stuff with, like, in terms of advertising rights, those games came out on PC, Xbox, PlayStation, and they were cultural events in terms of, like, back in the early days.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. So Yeah, and gaming as a culture, you know, does kind of need to move a little bit away from the console bantering. Like, there's so many things that bleed into that, like the next news piece here that we could talk about. So,
yeah, should... like, okay, extend it out a bit. Like, the other conversations, apparently Starfield, and even Indiana Jones and the Great Circle.
Okay.
My viewpoint pretty much stays the same. Like, I'm okay with games going to other consoles. It doesn't affect how I play my games.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. Well, I mean, Blade didn't have any Xbox marketing on it either.
True.
So that was completely void of anything, like, almost like Disney may be able to delegate further down the track if it is or isn't.
It's actually a very good point, right? Like, I hadn't considered it because we just said, well, Arkane's working on it, so obviously it'll be an Xbox exclusive. But if this talk was already happening, and I think a lot of people just chalked up to being, it's so early in development that they're like, you know, like,
they're essentially recruitment trailers, though.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. So, like, who knows when this game's coming out? This might even be like a mid-generation next-gen game, potentially, or like a cross-gen game. So maybe it's like, hey, just we'll talk about it when we're closer to having it done, because like, they didn't, you know, definitely wasn't a gameplay trailer or anything.
I think it leans more, into the side of they're trying to recruit people, like, or it could be one of three things. It could be them trying to recruit more people. It could be Disney did the exact same thing with, what was the other game? It was Blade.
Wolverine, Avengers. I mean,
yeah, Wolverine. That's the one I was thinking of. Yeah, they did the exact same thing with Wolverine, which I can't remember if it had any marketing. And then third thing is, if it is 2026, 2027, we don't know the names of those consoles. We should.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, we're so early, potentially so early in development that, and development cycles are so much longer that it's like, this might even be, you know, a next gen game potentially, or at least like a cross generation.
Who's to say too that the next generation of consoles is going to be like how the Xbox Series X, like, I would imagine how the whole conversation around Xbox One and Xbox Series consoles went at the start of the generation, that they would maybe be looking at, all right, we're keeping them two separate things again. If people want to upgrade, because that was messy when it came to stuff like Forza and Halo.
Yeah, I see what you mean, but it's
like the whole conversation around Craig and that, like,
yeah, and having something that works on both, and I get what you mean. It's still an issue, right? Like, you still have the Series S and the Series X with Baldur's Gate.
Yeah, I was just thinking about Baldur's Gate. You know, maybe Larian went up to them and said, hey, Xbox, we can put you on both platforms now, Series S and X, but next time don't pull this shit.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, so, that's the other rumor going on around at the moment, that apparently the next generation of consoles will have two different types. There will be like your powerhouse kind of Xbox Series X, and then there'll be a Switch hybrid for Series S.
Yeah, which I don't see. I don't, like, not, yeah, definitely not, like, because I don't see
console. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think Microsoft, I think, is smart enough to understand that.
Yeah.
If you're going down that route, you need to do like a ROG Ally kind of, you know. And the thing is, by the time you get to that stage, you essentially have two SKUs. Both of them are quite powerful, but for different reasons.
Yeah.
If they're like in terms of.
You do the hardware, like the hardwired option, or you do the.
Or you do the ROG Ally option. Yeah. But the thing is, like, price point wise, they're probably actually not going to be that different, right? Like, the handheld ones are going to be weaker, obviously, but it's going to also be expensive, and
but it's going to be portable.
Yeah, like, exactly. So it's like, you kind of, it's a trade-off.
I mean, so many phones out there, they justify, you know, $1,200, $1,300 for. You get more cash out of something like that than a $500-$600 console, and if people are buying on a phone instead. You know, the natural progression would say that they'd go back to Windows Phone or something like that, because they're trying to tap into Windows market again. So,
well, yeah, especially like we talked about the other week, right, with the acquisition of King trying to get into the mobile space. But, I mean, Microsoft obviously has a lot of irons in the fire at the moment, and I think that with all these rumors floating around about, like, some people saying that Xbox is leaving the console market altogether and going completely third party, and that they're never releasing another console ever again, and it's just going to be PlayStation. Yeah, well, I mean, like David also in the chat, you know, says that I find it funny about how a year ago people were complaining about how Microsoft was getting a monopoly on gaming with Activision Blizzard acquisition, but now no one seems to care about Sony possibly having a monopoly in
Oh.
the gaming space.
So many comments are just like, yeah, they basically made themselves the first party,
Yeah, I mean,
the third party kind of
kind
publisher.
of, but I think that, you know, like a lot of this has been, there's so much going on and so many rumors, and how true any or some or any of them are is kind of up in the air. There's a lot of different sources. But Phil Spencer's basically come out and said that they're going to have a presentation next week to talk about it. So hopefully that'll be before Friday, so we'll have plenty to say. I guess like let's just open the can of worms, right? Like what are we thinking might be the play? Is this, hey, we're bringing a few games over to multi-platform a year after they come out, or after a certain period of time once they're on Xbox? Is it everything's releasing day and most things, every some things are releasing day and date, some things are going to be delayed, everything's releasing day and date? Like there's a sliding scale of how third party, quote unquote, Xbox could be going here.
If I was to predict, I would say first party stuff like Forza, Halo, Gears, that stuff will continue to stay first party exclusive. I would say acquired developers, when it, I would say case by case basis, maybe 343 is doing a new Halo and they want to put it out on PlayStation because
Sure.
they want to get a wider audience for whatever reason. I think that's the sticking point for Bethesda with a few of their studios. I think there's been like, was it Pete Hines before saying that he wasn't happy that.
That Starfield basically ended up as an Xbox exclusive kind of out of nowhere. Yeah. So
Yeah, okay.
maybe there's conversations with the acquired studios like Bethesda and Activision Blizzard where it's like, all right, Activision Blizzard, we've already had that conversation. COD's still coming
Right.
to essentially everything.
Yeah.
They will act, I think whilst they're under Xbox, they will still act as their own entities. They will have more of a say in, we want this to be, going to everywhere, or,
Sure.
maybe it is a case like Blade is a Xbox exclusive that we want to keep. I think it will depend on, like, if you're a developer, you want your game going to as multiple places as, like, as many places as possible.
I mean, yeah, as a developer, they get the best of both worlds, right? Because they get the support of a first party to give them the cash and the security to make whatever game that they want to make. And then they also get to sell it on every platform known to man to make as much money off of it as possible.
I can't remember where I saw it, but apparently Bethesda's bonus structures are tied to Copysalt.
Right, well then
So I've,
you're fucked because the
yeah.
Xbox just doesn't
Yeah,
sell
I
copies.
think it has in the past. Yeah, which is like I'm kind of on the train of like once games have like a drop off point in sales, it's considered contracts for other platforms, regardless of what it is. So because like the games that come to Xbox aren't selling consoles. Everyone says that. Everyone's pretty much said that for a very long time. It was not really.
Starfield didn't make a dent, or at least not a big enough one.
It's not there to sell consoles. They don't care about the console race. Then, like, yeah, you then you're going down the business route where you're there to make, money wherever you can. So.
And trying to recoup like costs and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and like Phil Spencer's been out there saying that they've wanted Game Pass on all kinds. Like maybe this is just Game Pass is now going to be on other platforms. And the thing is that things are day and date on Game Pass, right? So if Game Pass is on other platforms, you can play other things through Game Pass potentially.
Maybe that's the trade-off. Maybe it's Game Pass on different platforms, but all right, well, we're not going to have those games that are on Game Pass be exclusives.
So maybe the day and date thing doesn't happen on Game Pass anymore, although I can't, well, or maybe it doesn't happen
That's another
on.
rumor, like day one not happening anymore because it's too costly.
Yeah,
There's so
potentially.
many rumors.
But
Yeah, I mean, you end up with the trouble like the Nintendo platform has Minecraft
Ori.
and Ori, and you have to sign into an Xbox account on that platform to actually use it, with the achievements. So
I love
Sony aren't going to have you signing into an Xbox account to earn achievements on a platform that has PlayStation trophies on it.
I mean,
like within the system.
But if it's PlayStation, it's either going to, like, it would either be cloud streaming or it would just be a Xbox title that has a PlayStation port.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm getting at, is that maybe this is a streaming only thing. Just like,
I think it's streaming and digital downloads, but then if it's in Game Pass,
but if it's digital downloads, then that's port development work that's happening there, right?
Mm.
Like, that's the thing, is that, like, just if, like, let's take Starfield as an example, right? That game was built for the Xbox, which means that if it's going to come to PlayStation, someone has to do the work to port that over. Now, how difficult that port's going to be, fuck if I know. I'm not a developer.
Yeah.
But that requires resourcing there. If it's a streaming solution and it's basically just like, hey, the Game Pass app is going to be on other platforms and you can now stream Xbox games on those platforms, and we give a cut to whatever, or we pay, or whatever, you know, whatever they work out, right? I think that makes a lot more sense for them basically saying, hey, these are still first party exclusives, but you can play them in other places now.
That's technically already being set up, because Ubisoft have the rights in the UK for
exactly. That's kind of what I'm thinking, is that, like, again, could be talking out of my ass. Who knows, right? Like, we don't see the inside of Xbox or Microsoft. But I could definitely see that being a situation where they're like, I think the other situation you were talking about there, Cameron, where it's like, it is a port, and like, they're actually porting these games. I think that also lends credence to them not doing a day and date release, where it's like, you know, like when Indiana Jones comes out, it's like, yeah, you get Indiana Jones, but you're not getting it for another year, because they're going to release it on Xbox first and then they'll port it.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I'm fine. I will stipulate too, the only thing that I'm not fine with is if we have these Xbox games like Hi-Fi Rush, and that they don't have physical releases. Mm. So Hi-Fi Rush, Grounded, that kind of stuff, right?
Sure.
End up coming to PlayStation or Switch and have a physical release.
Yeah, which is not going to happen. I mean, Xbox has shown that they have no interest in physical releases. And at the end of the day, like, even if those are coming to, like, even if they're coming to other platforms, Xbox is still going to be the publisher, and they're not going to do physical releases for those games. Or it looks like any games. I mean, I don't know if we had that story in there, but there's also been talk around the fact that, I mean, we talked a little bit about the other week, where, you know, a lot of people who got let go were in the physical in the physical disc department. And the Xbox, I believe, and again, like, I might be completely misremembering this, because I've read a lot of different stuff over the last few weeks. They said the attach rate is like, it's like 90% digital to 10% disc at this point, in terms of like the entire catalog. Yeah. And that's not 100% fair, because there's a lot of stuff that just doesn't come out on disc. So there's, you know, there's an imbalance there. But the majority of people who are playing Xboxes are, I mean, like, especially with how big Game Pass is, that's all digital. Every game you play on Game Pass is digital, even if you don't own it. If you're streaming, if you buy them digitally, like, digital is so huge. Well, I was going to say digital is so huge for Xbox. Physical is so small, actually. It's probably more realistic. And so I don't think we're going to get physical releases from Xbox going forward in general. I mean, the leaks for that console that we saw, their mid-console refresh, was a digital-only Series X.
Yeah.
And I think
The other rumor at the moment is, like, there's a disk drive,
which I think is probably the best of both worlds, right? For the people who really want to play their old stuff, or I don't know.
Until I see, like, an EB game, like, until I no longer have access to an EB Games or a JB Hi-Fi in my area, like, I'll continue to buy physical if that's going to be the cheapest option.
Yeah, I just
You're a minimalist.
Sure, I 100%, and like, I do, but like, even when you wander into a JB Hi-Fi or a I mean, if you look at the Xbox sections in these places, they're shrinking. Like, EB Games, especially, you know, it's very it kind of reminds me of a situation, and not to get too off on a tangent, because we've been talking about this for a little while, but I don't know if you guys remember the PSP Go. It was an all digital version of the PSP that they kind of released and kind of died on the vine, because they released it towards the end of its life, and kind of there was all kinds of problems with it. But when they first announced that it was going to be digital only, GameStop, I believe it was Game or GameStop, came out and basically said they weren't going to sell it, because they were like, we can't sell any games for it because it's digital only. Yeah. So why would we sell the console? Like, what's the incentive? And if Microsoft are moving in this direction where it's like, hey, yeah, you can buy an all digital Xbox, then, you know, like, unless they give big kickbacks to retail to hold it, which they won't because there's no margin in it, because they lose money on every single one that they sell, right? And the margin is all in used games, which are no longer going to exist. Then why would retailers even carry these things? Especially when Xbox can just, you can go online, order one, and they'll send it to your house.
Yeah. I imagine probably next generation will be working off pre-orders rather than buying it in stores.
For sure. Yeah. And you know, maybe there'll be bundle deals and Microsoft will have a chat with EB Games or GameStop or whatever and say, yeah, we'll you can sell digital codes in store or something along those lines for games or something.
Oh, yeah, you would have like some kind of bundle. Yeah.
Yeah, right. To get the consoles in there, because at the end of the day, some people just aren't going to be willing to go online. They want to walk into a store. Like, there's always going to be some physical presence of these consoles, even if you just want to have them on shelves so people know they exist. But
I don't see them doing like the bundles though anymore with Game Pass, unless you're doing like Forza, right? Like something big like that.
I mean, Game Pass is the bundle, right? Is that you sell 3 months a year, and then potentially with, you know, there's some other rumors around adding additional tiers to Game Pass, potentially adding ads to Game Pass games and that kind of stuff. Like, this could get very messy.
Because ads have worked so well in games in the past.
Well, look, we should probably move on and maybe give some final thoughts around kind of what, again, just maybe some final thoughts and speculation about what's going to happen next week. And then we'll come back and see how wrong we were.
Remain positive until we get some concrete evidence of shit hitting the fan.
Sure. Okay. But what do you think they're going to say?
I think it's very much going to be the timed exclusivity kind of thing. I mean, if they do like Gears and Halo and Forza and that kind of stuff, then so be it. It's not going to be skin off my back. I hope that if we end up in a situation where our exclusives are going to different consoles, that we kind of get like more of a fair share. Like, bring Final Fantasy VII Remake over. Like, give us that.
Sure, right.
I don't want Sony money having like stuff like kept away. I don't expect us to get Spider-Man or God of War, even though that would be really cool. But I mean, yeah, just I think just staying positive, just waiting to see. I imagine it's going to be timed exclusives. The other thing too is like with all these, like it's a mess at the moment, right?
Yeah.
There's the fact that the FTC case and all that exposed all these leaks about Xbox, basically put all the plans, you know, out on the table to read, like the controller, the new consoles, essentially everything. I think next week will be interesting. And I will also say I'm laughing at all the insiders going back on stuff too that I've kind of said, hey, just wait until next week and then just, you don't know shit. Come on.
Yeah. I'm just going to say they will announce the mid-gen refresh next week and say everything's fine, guys. It's okay. We're not going anywhere. We've got plans. This is the future. We're going to be all right. So, yeah.
So you think it's a total, like, you think it's total mountain out of molehill thing, and they're like, no, this is just a good marketing
opportunity. It's like, nah, don't worry. It's just publicity stunt. We're all good. We leaked that.
I would
so that
love
you guys
that.
Would freak out. So, and all these numpties that are jumping ship saying they're winding down their accounts and going to other platforms. If you were an Xbox person and your market for views is very, very small because you're an Xbox dedicated person and you move to another platform and other games that you're playing are being played on other platforms, your views are going to be like three times as big because you're across both platforms. So, like, why would you move away from Xbox if you're going to be reaching more people down the track?
Here's what should happen. You've just given me the best idea. All right.
Here we go.
Game Pass goes to other consoles, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
But if you play on Xbox, you don't get the ad tier. If you play on other consoles, you get the ad tier. That's the only tier you can go into, ad tier. But the only ad that runs is get Game Pass on Xbox.
Okay, that's pretty good. I like that.
Yeah.
I think for my money, I think it's probably going to be, yes, we're going to bring Game Pass over to other platforms, but it may be only streaming. And I think David in chat puts out, maybe it's only Game Pass Core. Like, maybe it's not Ultimate. Maybe it's like a limited selection. Maybe it's like a
like a
slightly different version of Game Pass. Because you also have to think about like stuff that's on Game Pass that's not first party. Like, that gets a bit weird as well, because then it's like
contracts are already signed and all that kind of
stuff. Yeah, right. Where it's like oh, you know, you've got a game that's on a bunch of different consoles, but it's like, okay, well, if I play it on Game Pass, am I playing the PlayStation version or am I playing the Xbox version?
I wonder if they would ever do like a cheaper tier, like Game Pass is just first party titles to other consoles.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking. Is that like something along those lines that maybe this is like a Game Pass for Game Pass for PlayStation, Game Pass for thing, which is like only first party games, basically.
That'd be really just tailor made.
If that's the case, give me a PlayStation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, a PS Plus tier for Xbox. I'd be down for that. Yeah, for sure.
If it wasn't achievements, I'll just quickly smash out, you know, Spider-Man and that.
They could just do it with the Activision games. We were going to get Activision Plus next week. That's what we're getting. That'll go to every platform, and then your Xbox games will be on PlayStation without being directly associated with Xbox.
What a fucking nightmare.
I hate this topic.
This is stressing me out quite a bit. I'm deathly curious, but I'm also... I've been sitting there reading the thread on TA, and it's like 20 pages long about just some of the most mouth-breathing lerp-a-derp fucking opinions I've ever heard in my entire life. But I am very, very curious. And I think that, there's some stuff. I also want to also point out that there's an interesting idea of signing into an Xbox account and getting achievements while playing a PlayStation version of a game is not out of the question, right? Like, if you think about EA makes you sign up for an account when you play an EA game. Bethesda makes you do it. Konami makes you do it. Capcom makes you do it. It's like Square Enix do it. Like, I don't think it would be over the top to have an Xbox launcher or sign in process for.
I would want it to be I would want that kind of ecosystem to still exist regardless where I go.
Yeah, I agree.
Was it? I don't know who. I don't know. I heard it somewhere. Basically, somebody was saying that they really liked the idea of having the cross save across platforms.
Yeah, that'd be
and
amazing.
If that solves that problem, like exactly what you're saying, if you unlock the trophies, you get the Xbox stuff. You unlock the Xbox stuff, you get the PlayStation stuff, and it's melding all the systems together into one save file group or whatever.
Yeah, I mean,
so
like Ubisoft used to do that, where like Ubisoft rewards were based around achievements, right? And you could get the achievement or the trophy, and it would give you the Ubisoft reward for it. Like, it's not unheard of. It's definitely weird for it to be a first party, and there's probably some interesting interconnectivity to think about there. But just to finish off the topic, I don't think this is a situation where Phil Spencer goes, "Yeah, Xbox is done with consoles. We're never releasing another console. In fact, we're going to come and pick up all of your Series X's and Series S's and put them in the dump. You have to go and buy a PlayStation if you want to play Game Pass now." And that everything is coming to PlayStation and every other platform day and date. There's no reason to own an Xbox, et cetera, et cetera. Like, I don't think that's what's happening here. I think there's going to be some changes. And I think, I think that getting Game Pass on other platforms has always been a goal of theirs. So I think maybe this is kind of the next step of kind of what's going to happen.
I will add into that too. If anybody says they're leaking stuff like a day or two before of that announcement, I would be very skeptical.
Yes. I'm going
to. This is definitely a very internal discussion at the
moment.
Keep
the powder dry on this one. Yeah, for sure.
All right. Let's move on to. All right. We'll quickly touch on some other speculation. So there was rumors going around that developer Toys of Bob, acquired during the Activision Blizzard, were closed down, but that wasn't the case. It was the studio, not the studio, the offices had closed down.
Yeah.
And most of the remaining workers had gone to work from home.
Work from home.
Work remotely.
Okay. The physical offices closed.
Which I think might have been the case with Sledgehammer as well.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. I think because they only really mentioned Toys of Bob, but Sledgehammer was also in the original.
I think Sledgehammer was like the week before.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, according to a report from the San Francisco Chronicle, Microsoft will be closing Toys of Bob's office in Novato, California, and laying off 86 employees on March 30th. Reports early today suggested that Crash Bandicoot, Spyro, and Skylanders developer would be closed for good. That doesn't seem to be the case now. What Microsoft plans to do with Toys Bob isn't yet clear, but according to Windows Central's Jez Gordon on X, he's got confirmation that Toys for Bob is not closing down. I would be very curious to see what they're...
I mean, Toys for Bob have put out some great stuff. And I mean, I get the feeling that
they've got... Spyro, Crash 4.
Yeah, they also did Tony Hawk, right?
I think so.
Was that, Toys for Bob? I'm trying to remember now.
Did they have a hand in Skylanders? They would have.
Yes, they. That,
yeah,
they
that was
their
definitely
baby.
Did.
Yeah, that was their
yeah,
baby.
yeah.
Having a quick look. So support for Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, Warzone. They did Crash Team Rumble.
That's right, Crash Team Rumble. Yeah,
yeah,
which was not great, but.
Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy Reunited Trilogy for Spyro, Crash Bandicoot 4. It's About Time. They didn't work on the Tony Hawk.
What am I thinking of Tony Hawk? That's Neversoft, right? So,
but they did work on Disney's Extreme Skate Adventure back in 2003.
Oh wow, okay, yeah, they got a big history, yeah. I mean, I like Toys for Bob. You know, like the
Tony Hawk's Downhill Jam on Wii.
That's right. I knew they did something Tony Hawk. So I'm thinking of I'm getting my wires crossed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm hoping that I mean, there's still going to be some layoffs. So this is not like, oh, it was a misrepresent. Like, yeah, they shut down the office and they're laying people off. That sucks. I'm glad that the developer isn't completely disappearing though, because they have put out some good stuff. And I'm a big fan of the Spyro game in particular. And because there was rumor that they were working on a new Spyro game anyway. That was their rumored next project.
I wonder how many of them are like left.
Yeah.
Insider Gaming recently reported it looks like Sledgehammer could be working remote temporarily until the team can move into a smaller office. There you go.
Yeah, which again, like, I think they're definitely in a period, like Activision is in a period of change at the moment.
Yeah.
So this doesn't surprise me at all. Unfortunately, some of that change is people getting laid off, but not all of it, thankfully.
Just sucks. I'm overseeing people laid off in the industry.
Well, I mean, like, it also doesn't make a huge amount of sense for Microsoft to acquire all of these studios just to start shuttering them immediately.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I think there's
apparently
going to be downsizing and changing, but...
So the... I think there's like an FTC document that got put in saying that, you know, why were they allowed to acquire them if they were just going to cut 1,900 jobs? But apparently Activision Blizzard already had the plans to...
Well, yeah, I think
those people. So
all you have to do is look around the industry and see if everyone else laying off people and being like, this isn't Microsoft cleaning house like out of nowhere. Like
this is just recoup of COVID, essentially.
Unfortunately,
we grew
yeah.
and then people went back to work.
Yeah,
yeah.
All right, let's move on to some positive news. Ubisoft's Valiant Hearts sequel is coming to consoles. Previously, a Netflix exclusive coming home rated for place. Previously, Netflix exclusive is now coming home and is rated for Switch, PlayStation, and Xbox.
Right. I love the original Valiant Hearts. It was a great game.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. Brazil Ratings Board has recently classified a console port of Valiant Hearts coming home. The side-scrolling adventure puzzle game was previously only available on Netflix, on mobile devices and required a Netflix subscription. However, it seems like this will no longer be the case, according to the rating body. I'm okay if Netflix is acquiring these studios and doing timed exclusives.
Sure.
Because that means... What was the other one that they acquired?
Night School. Well, we've already had Oxenfree 2 go over to PlayStation, I think.
It'd be nice if they came to Xbox. I'd love to play that game because I was a huge fan of the original.
Yeah. They could just cherry-pick the ones that go to PlayStation, the ones that go to Xbox as well, so...
So Coming Home takes place after the events of the Great War, featuring narrative following four interweaving stories of friendship, survival, and sacrifice amidst the turmoil and tragedy of war.
Mm-hmm.
James joins the Harlem Hellfighters to search for his heroic older brother, Freddy, while Anna tends to the wounded and broken. Ernest, the German diver, and George, a British aviator, each face their own challenges, and Walt, the canine companion from the first game, is back to aid players in their progress through exploration, puzzle solving, and adventure sequences. I don't think there's a date given here.
No, because it was just on the ratings board, so we don't know yet.
Yeah.
But hopefully soon. That'd be a good gift for Game Pass. Well, actually, it'll be an Ubisoft Plus, right? So you just play it there.
Yeah,
it'll be Ubisoft Plus. All right. Final Fantasy 14.
Yeah, I've heard about this game.
Yep, I'll take over with this one. So pretty much they've said that the beta for Xbox will come on Wednesday the 21st of Feb, and it's going to be open to new players only. So it'll just be new accounts there. I guess they're kind of trying to do the old fresh MMO kind of test to see kind of where things are gonna, like how new players experience the game. Because they can, like, what kind of MMO has this experience where they can just dump new players in and just do have a fresh test bed, right? So, so it looks like they're just doing a fresh test on Xbox, get all of the new players in to play the game, and then as soon as the beta's over, they're gonna release the game and it'll be all steam ahead with that. But you need Game Pass Core once it launches.
Yeah.
So for now, you can play the beta for free, create a new account with Square Enix, but Game Pass Core is required. I don't know what that's going to indicate or lead to, because on PlayStation, you basically can play the same trial for free, but then you have to have that you're just basically paying Square Enix the monthly fee.
Right.
So they have a subscription service. It's through a Square Enix account, and then that's it. If this is going to be like this, it'll be you pay Square Enix a monthly fee, but then you pay Xbox a monthly fee. So unless they're going to roll it or something into,
they might do.
Like,
I mean, I
Game Pass
maybe, yeah, maybe that is the
as a sub, but
yeah, maybe that's a perk that they add for Game Pass Ultimate. I don't know. Like, yeah, it'd be interesting to see kind of what they do there.
Free with Game Pass Core. Yeah, exactly right. You know, you can just play. But yeah, so that'll be interesting to see what's going to happen there. So, but yeah, that's it. So if you want to play Final Fantasy on Xbox, you can create a new account and start doing it on the 21st. So that'll be really good.
I'm excited, but I'm going to maybe wait a little bit just to see how it lands.
Yep. And going along with that, I've been working in the background to try and make some spreadsheets and stuff like that that'll make it easier for Xbox players to kind of get their head around the content itself, like in terms of like putting together, you know, what kind of what all the dungeons are, what's this, what's that, you know, what's kind of the expectation for like end game gear and all that kind of stuff. Not to create a meta, because you know, that's the last thing you want in an MMO is just penciling everyone down for a meta. But it's just like we don't get the new expansion until the game comes out at most likely at the end of the year, right? So you're looking at all of the previous expansions plus the current stuff. The old stuff already have their highest level tier gear, eye level, whatever. And they're all set in stone. So as you get to each point in the expansions, you're looking at doing certain, you'll be at certain levels and the recommended gear is this and then that. So I've kind of put all that together, you know, and this is all also based on my own experience where I have played the game for so long and not done a whole lot of the content to completion. So I've missed a whole hell of a lot of stuff. And now with the PlayStation 5 trophy list, which this is also based on, I've compiled a list of stuff that is made up of the things that you would do based on the PlayStation list projecting that may be what the Xbox list will look like. Right. So if you do get started, you can start looking at that stuff and go, oh, I need to collect all the triple triad cards because you need 342 or something of them. I can start doing that now. That can be one of the things I do leading up to the Xbox release where they're out achievements or whatever. As well, so you know, you've got hunting different animals in the wild in the newest expansion and all that kind of stuff. So you are in the Discord, you can DM me that for now. I might work out something out over the next week or so in terms of making it more public to view. Mm-hmm. But you can tell me the special phrase, I'm not a potato, and I'll know what you're after, and you'll be good.
You're a Batman?
Oh no, okay.
I don't get it.
It's a Lalafell joke. It's like their tiny baby childlike looking race.
Mm-hmm.
They're just called potatoes.
They're very cute.
But,
They did say that the full release will be sometime like immediately after the test is done based on reviews, they said. So I guess they're using this as like a true beta, basically, to actually make sure the game is good to go.
And I want this to go off on Xbox, right? So I really want as many people to get into it as possible. But you've got years and years of expansion to go through here. You're looking at over 300 hours of story to complete before you can play Endgame now. Sweet. Each expansion, you would have been at Endgame, you know, at the end of the expansion as it came out. But you have to do the whole story to be at Endgame unless you buy their passes, which...
I get the feeling that maybe they're going to offer some of those skips. I feel like that's probably the smart thing to do, because the last thing they want is to release this and then be like, hey, play all this old shit that no one else is playing.
Yeah. So it's just one of those hard things where, and especially like it, you could spend like hundreds and hundreds of hours playing this game and actually not make a dent if you're not doing the right things for the achievements. Mm. And as achievement hunters, like, we're going to look at the list and just go, well, no, I'm not playing that game. But that's, you know, why kind of like making it a little bit more straightforward. It's like, this is what you might have to go for. So maybe look at these things first if you want to play the game as well, or, you know, at least take them into account. So yeah, hit me up in the Discord and I might work out something later for it. So
sounds good.
Cool. Anyone else have anything?
No, with that? Pretty much. I'm excited. Like, I'm definitely interested.
I'll give it a try.
Cautiously interested. Yeah. Like, I think getting a Hall of Gamers guild together is maybe not a bad idea. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I'll make a an ex-hog free company.
Yeah, there you go.
So you need like a minimum of 4 people, I think, to start a free company. And so far, I've just been going solo outside the free company that I'm already with. So maybe it's time. So
amazing. Cameron, Game Pass, what do we got going on? I've seen a lot of news this week.
Available now, we have Anacard in Cloud Console PC, Train Sim World Cloud Console and PC, and then Madden NFL 24 through Console PC via EA Play. Resident Evil 3 will hit on the Feb the 13th. Feb 14th will be Bloodstained Ritual of the Nights.
Is that returning? Because I feel like it definitely was, because I would have...
It was in there before, yeah.
I'm glad it's coming back, because that game is fucking great.
Yeah. Does that one go like a separate stack for Windows?
I think there was something about that. I don't know if it does.
I want to quickly check that.
I remember something about this, because I looked it up a while ago.
No.
Okay. Bloodstained Ritual of the Night has a Windows stack, but it has one unobtainable achievement.
Does it really? Yeah. I thought it didn't. Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
interesting.
I swore I saw something in Vidix's server yesterday.
Yeah. Okay.
There's that.
If they fix it, I'll play it again. I love that game. Yeah.
We've got Played Up and A Little to the Left coming to Cloud Console and PC on Feb 15th, which I'm really excited for. Return to Grace, which I know nothing about, coming on Feb 20th. And then Inculinati is getting its 1.0 achievements on Feb 22nd. They announced on TA that all the achievements will be retroactively. That's it. So they'll be interesting. We also have Galactic Civilizations 3 on PC leaving on Feb 15th, and Opus End of Echo of Starsong leaving for Cloud PC and console, which I'm sure Neo will talk about.
I'll talk about it.
And then we also got a game announced. Haunty will join Xbox Game Pass and PC Game Pass on day one later this year. You play as a naive but brave ghost who is on a quest for answers. You will need to use ghostly powers to possess inhabitants and the environment around you to solve combat and puzzle challenges.
Cool. That sounds great. That sounds like my kind of game.
Yeah. I'm really curious about Inclinati. I'm hoping that people figure out a guide pretty quickly.
Yeah, me too. I've been waiting on that for a while, and I'm hoping this means that it's not leaving Game Pass for a little while too.
Yeah. Well, it got added Jan last year, I believe.
Yeah, so the past the 1 year at least, it looks like, which is good. So all right, let's talk about what we've been playing. I guess if I say The Crew, we're talking about you, Keo?
Yeah, so I have pretty much mostly exclusively been playing The Crew, both the Xbox One version and the 360 version. After talking about it last week with the 360 version being broken, I found a group of people that I know and that are all kind of working on it, some of the Discord crew and stuff like that. So there's a workaround trying to get it logged in. You basically have to log out, log in, log out, you know, and then you have to wait for certain things to appear in the game to show that it's connected, like it's all leaderboard stuff to connect. Right. And then the missions won't work, and then you have to wait for the missions. You have to log in and out and make sure the missions are working and the leaderboard thing is working for it to work. I spent what, half a day trying to log into this thing in an actual working state. I think the Discord is called the Crew Madness, where I'm hanging out, where people are kind of getting together and try to get the crew stuff done frantically over the next month. But what they've done is they've actually found all the 360 points, like that you've got stuff on the map, which are basically your skills called slalom. I don't know how you say that.
Yep, slalom.
Slalom, like jumps, like staying on the line, going around corners and stuff like that. So race the line. So there's like 8 different types of skills, and they worked out which ones were disconnecting you when you went through. And if you got a bronze, silver, gold medal, it would shut you out of the game, and then you have to spend half a day trying to log back in. Okay. So there was one particular person that was doing that over and over again for each one, and if it shut him out of it, then he wrote that down and said, yeah, this one's not working, this one's not working. Right. So there's like a list, and he's put the guide up on TA as well in terms of what does work and what doesn't work. So you can just avoid those in general. But there's what, you have to get 500 skills at gold status.
Right.
So to actually get all of to get one particular achievement. And it was around 499, 49, 500 that, it was at the limit because there's like 573 skills or something. So, and then there was like just so many that were or weren't working that it was just on the cusp of maybe not being able to get it. Right. Apparently when some of them shut him out of the game, some of them may have kept the progress anyway.
Right. Okay. So that's good.
You just really need to make sure you're getting that full login and then doing everything. And, you know, it's really fun trying to get the 360 instance. Like, it looks like the whole game is sitting. It looks like in the world, you're in your own instance until you invite somebody that is right next to you. Because if they're not next to you, then they won't phase into your instance.
Yeah.
So I tried last night with a friend trying to get into the same instance, because you actually have to be able to see the other person's car for them to technically be in your world.
Right.
And if that's not happening, if you fast travel to a different location, they'll phase out of the world and not be in your world, even if they're in your crew, and you can't do anything with it.
Fucking nightmare.
It is an absolute mess.
Well, I'm not touching it.
I did manage to get the 8-player Xbox One achievement, but I've got a couple of things to do on the 360 one, and then all of the collectibles and junk to do on both versions. But
how long have you got till that shuts down?
I think it's the end of March 31st.
Okay,
there's a little bit of time, so I'll just get what I can, hopefully at least finish the Xbox One version, so because I'm not too far off that. So
I finished up Inscription. So I basically, like I talked about last week, did all the challenge, did the end of the story, started doing the challenges, finished the challenges. I made a big fucking mistake and really made things more difficult for myself. There is an achievement for completing a run with all challenges activated. You do not get all the challenges unlocked until you finish level 12. So I got to level 11 challenges, and then I just turned them all on and ran through it. And then it's like, hey, guess what? There's a secret extra challenge that you have to do. So I made the game way harder for myself. So I had to have 2 very, very good runs at the end. It's definitely one of my proudest completions in a long time. The amount of thought that needs to go into deck building and synergies and a little bit RNG and kind of placement and that kind of stuff is so, like, especially the bosses, because let me put it this way. One of the challenges basically is that every second phase of the bosses, and there's 3 of them, instead of their actual second phase is just a truckload of four damage, six health grizzlies in every single spot. So five by five, or four by four. So you need to have something that will do, you need to have something like double strike or something that will kill the thing, so you have a direct hit and kill them in one hit, because otherwise the next turn you are done. And I had a lot of runs where I was like, got some really good cards, and they just were not powerful enough to get through that wall of fucking grizzly bears. So it was really, really hard. But the game is fucking incredible, and I really, really hope that his other games end up on Xbox at some stage, because they deserve to be played for sure. Cameron, you've been playing Turnip Boy, and Keo, you played it as well, right?
Yeah, I haven't played it since last week. But yeah, I'm at the same spot. So how are you going with that, Cameron?
I've done, I would say, probably like 90% of the game. I've got four achievements left, but I thought the rings achievement had glitched to me.
I had the same worry. Yep.
I haven't been using a guide, and then I was like looking back, I'm like, I got the golden ring.
There's two rings, because she wants one that has a big rock on it, so you need to find a pop.
Ring
for her.
But I mean, yeah, I just turned on God mode and like smashed through it. I've got the hats achievement left. The upgrading of the weapon, like just recycling the weapons back at base. What else was there? The quest and one other one, which I can't remember right now. But yeah, like it's a good game. I love the humor. I love that they're taking this different approach. I wonder if they're going to continue the series, and then
it sounds like they will, I think.
Yeah. I might. Like, it's a good idea. It's not really much else I can say about it, though, that Kia hasn't already covered last week.
Yeah.
No, that's fair. I'll quickly talk about Brotato. Man, it's a fucking boring game. Holy shit.
Like, yeah. Vampire Survivors kind of had something going with it, whereas Survivors is better.
Oh, 100%. 1,000%. Like Vampire Survivors, I have my problems with, and people fucking jerk themselves crazy over that game. I don't really get it. Like, it doesn't, like, the game is very, like, it's a very samey game where it's like you just do the runs, and even on like the hard difficulty, like, you just kind of go with a build and just kind of, you just play the same way every time. It doesn't really matter. This game is like even more that, like, this is a flash game. Like,
that's exactly what I was thinking. It's just like if you threw up any, you know, flash game from 20 years ago, you know,
like horde based survival, but it's like you don't have to point and shoot, but you can point and shoot if you want to.
And they're basically, it's a Neopets mini game.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, how does this game have 90% with 67,000 reviews?
I have no idea. People are just like so desperate for more Vampire Survivors style
content. They just love roguelites,
I guess so. But like, it's this game is trash. Like there were, like, at least Vampire Survivors secrets and environments.
It's good for like 2 hours.
I mean, even then, like, I don't think I don't know. I've done all the miscellaneous achievements, and now I have to play through fucking like 30 different characters and do the same shit every time, which is I'm just gonna buy a gun for every single category and upgrade it as much as possible and just sit in the middle and just let the game run itself, because it's just, there's nothing to it. The enemy variety, there's nothing there. There's no secrets. There's no combos. Like that's the best thing about Vampire Survivors, is like having a build. Whereas like this game is just like kind of like
being a tree.
I do like the idea that you can combine the same quality item with the same quality, and then it's better. Yeah. But there's only like three upgrades.
You get to like level 4 or whatever, and
there's
so many upgrades, and also like you don't have like the nice system in Vampire Survivors where you can like block out things that you don't want to be seeing or whatever. I think the only real interesting part is that like some of the characters that you can play as have slightly interesting modifiers, but even then, that's pretty minimal.
I will say, in reverse of Vampire Survivors, you being able to block out stuff, you can lock stuff down in Brotato.
Can you?
Yeah, you can lock stuff down between like your leveling bits.
Yes, you can. Yeah.
Yes, you can.
So just if you want to keep something there or whatever, then
So it does have that kind of mechanic if you can't afford something.
But it's like I've seen like this thing. This is like a Kongregate or like a Newgrounds kind of like flash game from the early 2000s. Where it's like you have a bunch of brainless enemies. There's no environment because you just play on a square, and it's just like it's I can't believe that this, like, I can't believe this came to Game Pass, to be honest. Like, there are so many other titles that would be better suited for the platform and really deserve the spot.
I can't believe that Phil Spencer said,
Yeah,
like,
neither. I'm just like, it's like between this and what was that other fucking piece of shit game that I played recently?
There's less content than the baby games.
Yeah, like, it's very, like, it's just...
Yeah.
I was hugely disappointed by this, which is a real shame that we picked it for our thing. I'm glad we picked two games.
Yes, yeah.
The one that I played, Those Who Remain, that game that I was talking about a couple weeks ago, which is also absolute trash. And I'm just like the level of stuff coming to Game Pass. Like, look, not every game needs to be like a fucking, you know, a 10 out of 10 banger, like, you know, like Cocoon or
But
Limbo.
That's the stuff you want in game. But
I would love to have that at the Game Pass. It doesn't have to all be that.
You want those experiences that you're not going to go out and spend $40 on because it lasts 5 to 6 hours.
Exactly. But I also want some level of, like, this isn't just like a asset rehash piece of trash that they just kind of threw out there that, you know.
This is why I want, like, Space for the Unbound and that kind of level of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Space for the Unbound is a perfect Game Pass game. And, like, I've said this every now and then when I play something like that. I'm like, this is the kind of stuff that Game Pass is for.
More narrative indies.
I mean, hell, even that, I'm sorry, what was the name of that one that was, that just got released? Anucard? Anucard?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like that looks like a great Game Pass game. It's like a 10-hour, like, top-down inspired, Zelda inspired game that not a lot of people have played. And I'm like, great, that should be on Game Pass. Get people playing it. Yeah. I'm going to play it because I never heard of it before. Yeah, but I've got a lot of Brochado to play. It's kind of just like, it's basically turned into a clicker for me.
Yeah.
Resident Evil Zero. So I imagine you're here.
So I started my stream playthrough of Resident Evil Zero. I only really got through the first area, spent a few hours doing, you know, poking about, learning the game again. I found out something really interesting that I did mention before the show. If you use the joystick, you've got new controls, but if you use the D-pad, you can use the old tank controls, which is you know, it just like an interesting little side thing that I guess it's fun that they mapped it out that way. But I ended up changing it to like control form D, which was like left trigger to aim and then right trigger to shoot, because I just didn't like pressing the left trigger and it bringing up the map. I'm like, no, I can't do that.
These old
controls can fuck off. So at least now I've been spoiled too much with the new ones. So not a whole lot to say about that. It's good classic experience with the Resident Evil games. I just wanted to bring up that I'd started that, really.
I'm very
not
curious
much more to say.
Hear more about it as you kind of get closer to the completion and kind of what the pain points are. Because, like, I have it sitting there. I don't know if I'll ever get to it, but.
Yeah, like every single time I saw the leech dude, I'm like, why the fuck is there a leech dude? So, like, it doesn't make it. Why? Why did they do a leech dude? Singing opera. So it's a bit fun. So hopefully one, maybe two more streams for that. But I've been resting this week, so I've not really been playing it. So,
yeah, sweet.
Cool.
What is Road Rage, Cameron?
Road Rage is a very, very bad. I'm a biker. I will hit pedestrians.
Oh, I remember this. Yes, I played this. Oh my god.
So I'll quickly. I'm just going to quickly go through the games I've been playing this week because I haven't been playing much. Turner Boy is probably the longest one I've done. Burnout Paradise Remastered. Just been working on that with
some everybody.
People. Yeah, yep. Essentially when I'm not busy. Road Rage. I used today to clean up. Sorry, I used two games today. I used Alveoli. I don't know how to pronounce it.
Sure.
Alveol?
Yeah, it's like a white and black screen. You got like a hamster wheel in the center.
Oh, I remember
this. And then photos
this.
On the side.
Yeah, that's right. Oh my god, this game was fucking trash.
So yeah, so I used it's an indie game. Easy. Yeah.
It's got one of the lowest ratios I've ever seen.
It's great. Anyway, so I just I used that in Road Rage to basically tee up myself to 999,000. So I've got good old Wolfenstein, the new order here on 360 to get the 1 mil. But essentially, Road Rage, I just went around, got two collectibles, and then the Avioli one it was like do jump or stumbling patterns. It's very quick completion, but I just got it half done to tee up the score.
Didn't accidentally unlock any achievements that messed up your progress.
Yeah. I'm worried about 360 though. It's just like, all right, I need to probably check if both the discs work for Wolfenstein because it's a pre-owned copy and there's, sorry, 1, 2, 3, 4 discs.
That's right. I forgot about
that. As long as you can get the discs installed, I think you could install them.
You should be able to install all of them.
Yeah, I don't think that there was actually an install progress. Like, it's not something you're mandatory to install. You just actually install all the discs, I think.
Yeah.
Mm.
It is not backwards compatible. Just double check. I didn't think it would be, but Road Rage is all right. It's just one of those very janky, cheap kind of.
I gave it a 1-star. So,
It'll be good for like a few hours and then I'll just be like, get this done.
Yeah.
That's my week essentially.
I'll just quickly finish up with what I've been playing. So I played Opus Echo of the Star Song for Bloom Edition. So this is the one leaving Game Pass. I was not quite sure what to expect. I've been putting this one off for a little while because I sort of had like a lot of missables and a speed run. But I was lucky enough to get the speedrun achievement on my first playthrough. I probably just got it by maybe a couple of minutes because I think I looked at my time and it was just over 8 hours on TA, which means I probably had I paused for a little bit. But the idea is that this is kind of, I'm trying to think of examples of what this game is like. You guys probably have not played 80 Days, but it reminds me a little bit of that, where it's basically like you're in a spaceship, you basically need to pick your path. And you get to locations and then you basically either explore the location to get materials or you go to, if this location is populated, you go into various areas to do little conversation trees and you make decisions. Mm. And based on your resources, it's like, hey, you could do this and use up this resource, or you could do this, use this resource, or you could do a dice roll. And it's like, hey, one of them is just like, hey, you've got a beautiful voice. We'd love to have you on our pirate radio station. And you can go, yeah, I'm kind of on the run at the moment, so I don't know if this is a good idea. So you kind of weigh up, it's like, well, what is the potential reward for this?
But then when am I going to go on a pirate radio station ever again?
Exactly, right? Yeah. Well, it's funny, actually, because if you do well, they ask you back and you can fuck it up for an anyway. It's nice. It's a really a beautiful, a very minimalist kind of game where it's like you're just kind of space hopping around. You find little materials and you can take them back to places to sell to and create to get fuel and things like that. It's quite chill for the most part. Unless you're going for achievements, in which case you need to be following a guide to the letter, because there is a shitload of missable stuff. There are 240 collectibles in this game, because again, the game is all conversations. So you need to make sure you pick the right decision, because then a person will give you something that gets added to your codex, and you need to find everything in the codex. Some of it is story related, but the majority of it is side quest stuff. You also need to visit every location and there's a lot of missable stuff. So check the Neo Seeker guide, it's really, really good for it. Make sure you check the comments for each chapter though, because there's a couple of things where they kind of might have missed something, very minor, but just to make sure. There is a chapter select afterwards, but it takes your progress from how far back you were. So if you make a mistake in chapter one, you're gonna have to play from chapter one all the way back up. So use the
Neo Seeker. I only make mistakes at the end.
Yes, exactly. Try and stick with the Neo Seeker guide as much as possible. And also just a public service announcement. One of the achievements is for collecting 3 trials of failure, which is if you fail a certain dice roll, it'll give you a thing that you can sell for money. Do not sell them. You need there's an achievement for holding 3 of them. You have to have all 3 at once. I only figured this out halfway through the game when I didn't have enough left.
Only 3 in the game?
Or? There's about 5 or 6 in the game. Okay. Well, because the thing is, it's usually, if you fail it, you usually don't get one of the collectibles. You get these instead. But there are some situations where you can fail it and it's okay because you don't actually get anything particularly useful.
Does the guide point out points where you should fail it? Or?
Yes, it does. That's so the guide is very good but it doesn't tell you not to sell them because they are part of your sellable materials. And so if you're just kind of flicking through, just selling everything, you will sell them by accident like I did.
Does selling things correspond with any other, do you need to sell a certain amount of things?
You do need to have over 20,000 credits at some stage.
Okay.
And the guide is
so pretty good. So you get to the end though and you could just sell stuff off and get it.
Yeah, exactly. There's some parts where it's like, hey, you need to buy a shitload of materials, but if you sell everything before you buy them, you should have enough. I didn't have any trouble with the achievements. But like, yeah, literally I got to the end of the game and the only achievements I was missing was die two times. And one of the achievements was don't die through a whole playthrough. So I was like, cool. And then getting those three tasks of failure. So I loaded up like chapter two and just kind of play through it again really, really quickly. And managed to get it in like an hour or two. So theoretically you could finish this game in about in 8 hours, roughly, if you kind of were quite quick about it. Otherwise you do two playthroughs, it's probably going to take you close to maybe 15 to 20. I did really like the game. It's got a really kind of beautiful, kind of interesting kind of like futurist space aesthetic of the idea that it's kind of like a gold rush in space where they basically find this material called Lumen. And there's been a bunch of like wars over it. And now kind of things are opening up and now people are kind of flooding in trying to make their fortune. And you play as a disgraced noble who's basically been kicked out of their house, who's trying to basically find a claim so they can kind of bring honor back to the house and actually have resources. And then the other character you play as is a witch who basically has the ability to find this lumen through singing. It's kind of like, it's like a star-crossed lovers thing. It's like sad and beautiful. And I really like the art and the story was really good. There's a lot of lore. Like they kind of throw you into it straight away. So you kind of have to like, there's quite a bit of reading. Like I'll say it's all reading. Like there's no very, very little voice acting. But yeah, for like a kind of, so like quasi visual novel kind of thing, there are some sort of like minor platforming segments, and even then it's kind of just like walk left to right, solve a couple of puzzles. It's very, very simple. I definitely recommend it. Like I was a bit worried about playing it, but once I found a guide, it was really, really straightforward. I got it done in I think I got it done in like a weekend. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Finished Burnout Paradise, had a great time with that. Did that run sometimes description. And then I started Need for Speed Unbound. Cameron, I want to talk to you a little bit after this around like how the fuck I'm supposed to play that game, because I haven't quite figured it out. Like what the...
Yeah, there's a couple of tricks.
I haven't like, done the turn the audio yet, but... down to zero.
Well, yeah, there is that. Like, yeah. The music's okay, yeah, but it's not nearly as good as like...
Burnout. Yeah, there's okay. I think there's a trick where if you want to be only in the daytime, be in the online multiplayer state and get all the collectibles and shit.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
But that's if you're playing through the story, then you have to go, it'll jump around the time and you have to be at night for this mission and a day for this mission. And you don't want any of that. You just stick with the same time. I think there's less cops during the day in the online mode too. Yeah. So, and you can just roll around and just get absolutely everything that you can in multiplayer modes. And then just deal with the rest. And I do need to get one of the 8-player multiplayer achievement as well. Cool. So if you want that.
Yep.
What are you specifically struggling with?
I don't know. Like, I literally just like, I did like a first couple of races. I haven't even finished the prologue yet. So like, I know that like, I just picked like the Lamborghini and I was like, this is a cool car, but it drifts like shit. And I kind of have some trouble controlling it. But I'm not sure if I'm like, cause I've seen some things around like, I don't think I should be doing like every race, but I'm like, I just picked picking races and like what to do and what not to do is kind of a bit. So I'm just kind of curious to see kind of how that goes. But it's also made by Criterion. I also noticed as I was driving around the street and I pulled up the map, I was like, they literally just put Paradise City into this game. Like the city that you start in plus the mountain on the middle and the east part is literally just Paradise City that they just kind of done up a little bit. But I'm definitely eager to play a bit more of it, but it sounds like it's going to be a little bit of work. I also don't like how it's like, hey, you only get like 10 restarts on easy. I'm like, why not just let me restart the race? Like, don't, what are you doing here? And then the last thing that I've been playing that's been taking up a lot of my time, I've put about 25 hours into it this week, is The Outer Worlds. So this is
finally gotten around to it.
Yeah, so this was something that I started ages ago, actually. I basically did like a speed run of the Supernova achievement just because I wanted to get it out of the way, because I'd started it because I was interested in it, but the guide was really, really bad on TA. Like it was missing big chunks, but I found out that the re-release on Xbox One and the series re-release, which has the DLC built in, has a new achievement list that has all the updated values and everything that you need.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
So I've been using that guide and it's been really, really good for the most part. There's still some little squiggly bits, but whatever. I haven't had any too much trouble. Really, really enjoying it. I'm at the end of the main story and I'm basically at the end of the first DLC and I'm about to start the second one. It really has that Obsidian kind of thing of like, yeah, let's do a Starfield, but condensed, or Fallout New Vegas, or you know, like your typical.
It's not an RPG, but like do it like a condensed environment with detailed storylines.
Exactly, yeah, and like a lot of faction stuff, and like I think it may be a little shallower than I was kind of expecting, but I know Obsidian kind of made this on a bit of a budget, as they always do.
I've heard the DLC is fantastic, though.
Yes, so. I did the first DLC, which was really, really cool. It's kind of like a you basically end up with a phonograph, like an audio log sent to you with a guy's severed arm still attached to it, being like, "Hey, I found some fucked up shit going on over on this asteroid. You should probably go check that out and figure out like what the fuck happened. And if you're hearing this, I'm probably fucking dead." The guy's voiced by Steve Blum, which is great. I love Steve Blum. So I'm having a really, really good time with it. It is nice to be able to play it on easy and just kind of breeze through it and just, you know, shoot dudes in the head. But I realized that the guide also pushes you into the classic Skyrim stealth archer build, where essentially I have a increased damage to headshots using a sniper rifle. And like the further you are away from someone, the more damage you do. So I'm basically just kind of sitting around being like, okay, right, there's some enemies 500 meters away. Let's just pop, 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 and then just kind of breeze my way through it. But I love the humor. The world building is not quite as, I think my main problem with it is that the world building is not quite as strong as I was hoping it was going to be. Like some of the faction quests kind of feel a little bit, I don't know, like if you compare it to something like Fallout New Vegas, which is one of the greatest games ever made, and just like the way that that game works together in a single world, this game feels like it's kind of a step backwards. But I'm still really enjoying it. I don't know if I'll do the stacks or anything for quite a while, but yeah, we're having a really, really good time with it. I'm going to try and finish it up this weekend. And then I got to find something new to play, I guess. I did get
Wolfenstein
the
Wolfenstein 2.
Fuck that. I have been given the Eliminator a couple of bashes. I came second with a rank 9 car the other day, and it was absolutely fucking heartbreaking. But I am.
And then you went again, right?
No, that was enough for me. I couldn't deal with anymore that night. So
you gotta keep going.
Are you using the maps online where it shows you like,
yep,
if it's,
yep,
if you start here, then potentially these are the endpoints.
Yep, yep. So yeah. I had a map of that, and so like that's how I came second, because I was like, I was on it, but this guy was just a little bit ahead of me, and it just I couldn't.
You just gotta hover around those outer edges of the areas that you could have to
there was five people left in the last race, and one of the guys drove out too quickly and got eliminated right away, and I was like, yes, I've been that guy, I've done that before. But I just wasn't quite quick enough, and the problem is that most people who get to that last rank are in a rank 9 or 10 car, and they fucking know which direction to go because they've got this shit memorized, you know, 1,000 wins or whatever. But
this is why you need to just, like, even if you get second, you're just gonna have to keep going.
I mean, I've been putting a lot of tries into it, so I'm gonna, it's just
you'll start to remember stuff.
Yeah but I'm getting there, so we'll do a bit more of it, and I will try and get it done this month. But yeah, it's been a lot of gaming this week. It's been like gaming with a capital G, which is great. I've been looking at kind of what else I'm going to be playing, looking at some Game Pass stuff. I'm going to try and get Outer Worlds done. All right, well, let's get into the leaderboards. So in third place, we have Thrash Forever with 10,020. We have Red 47 with 18,830. And we have a Grey Shark with 26,350. Fucking nuts compared to last week when, you know, I happened to get a decent spot with like 4,000 or something. everyone's back to the grind. Here, right. Do you want to read through the questions?
Yep, I'll do that. So Left 4 Legacy did Battlefield 2042, Bottle of Sharks did Soma, Rapture did Turnip Boy, Rob's Bank, David did Brotato, Aftos did Immortals of Avium, and Dude Long Rice Long Reviews did Elden Ring, and Invader Tedious did Minecraft Story Mode. So congrats.
Nice work, guys.
Some big ones, yeah.
Cameron, you want to do Patreon?
Yeah, let me just... So Patreon, we got Lee Howard, Mikhail KV, Natalita, Mad Lefty 2097, Admiral Awesome, Heavy Moogles, Kung Fu Skills, Hackenpone, Cavalier 07, Old McClan, Mark B, McLevin Legend, Message, Left 4 Legacy, and McNulty.
Ooh. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate all the support from our Patreons who allow us to keep the show going. Word challenge. I'm giving you guys one more clue, and that's it. You guys got to figure it out from here. This is the last clue.
Yeah, take some guesses.
Yeah, come on. Get on our Discord. You get one guess per hour. You win $20. It's super easy. This is a European developer. This game has DLC. It's free. Like, you can download the game for free. Has a discontinued or unobtainable. And the new clue is this genre is popular in arcades. So, I'd be very curious to see kind of what people get at. People are going to be annoyed when they see it. But that's the idea, because if I made it easy, people would get it in week one.
Yeah.
But that's going to bring us towards the end of our show. As always, we do the show live on Twitch. Xbox Hall of Gamers is the place to find us. You can come say hi, hang out in the chat. Like David here and Legacy. And there's, I guess, if you want to find us in other places, what do you guys got going on? Keo, you doing some streaming?
Yeah, so please come check out my Resident Evil streams. I'm doing the series starting back at Resident Evil 0. I've done number one, and I'll probably do more next week. So that's at Keo Live at Home on Twitch. You can catch the notifications for all that stuff on Twitter at Keo Live at Home. HDFG Play on YouTube is where all of the VODs get uploaded. You can catch full versions, mobile friendly versions of those as well as they get uploaded. And I'm also doing Cliff Note short versions on Instagram now as well. So I'm uploading little bits of each stream in their own single things, which last about 3 or 4 minutes. So check that out too. That's Keo Live at Home.
Great. Cameron?
Should I say you on pretty much everything? I'm going to hit my 1 mil this weekend. I'm probably not going to stream it. I think I'm just going to relax, take it easy. And then, yeah. Amazing. Happy Chinese New Year for anybody celebrating next week.
It's tomorrow, is it?
Monday. Monday.
Monday, okay.
I think Monday.
And for me, Neomaster and everything, True Achievements, Xbox and Discord, I will just be gaming away as always. But, you know, Discord is the best place to hit me up if you want to do anything. I am keen to do some Need for Speed.
Batman.
Online stuff, and yes, we will. Yeah, Cameron and I will be doing some Gotham Knights or whatever it is.
He's not going to like it when I'm just going every 5 seconds. I'm Batman.
But you're not Batman. Batman's dead. Batman is dead.
Spoilers. Dead. Spoilers. Sorry, guys. Spoilers.
Opening cutscene. It's like, hey, if you're watching this,
Batman's dead.
Yeah, he's swore to me. No, I'm not doing it. But anyway, that is going to wrap up the show. That was episode 110. Thank you to my wonderful co-host for being great and chatting through all this crazy rumor stuff, and I'm sure we'll have a lot more to talk about next week.
Can we get some positive fucking news?
Well, yeah, maybe it'll be positive. Maybe it'll be, yeah.
I reckon it'll be good. New consoles. They're going to walk into everyone's house and replace their Series X's with the next.
Yeah, great.
I'm
going to get to meet Phil Spencer. It'll be great. But that's episode 110. We will catch you guys next week. See you later.
Bye, everyone.
Peace out. I'm not a potato.